Joshua.
That I'm always song. Curious. I'm always curious, like, what's going to happen with that song halfway through. And there's just, no words, so.
You got to feel the vibe, baby. You got to feel the vibe. The space toast.
Let's go.
He's got it, right? That is Tadadas, T-A-D-A-T-A-S, Nick and Josh, back on the podcast on the ones and twos, space toast.
What an interesting intro. I like it. We should, like, record that and just make that the intro every time. do we even know what episode this is? This is episode something. Edit here, please. Yeah. 41 seconds. Write that down.
Yeah. Edit episode 47, 46, 49.
There's a number that this episode
11
is.
11.
You figured out. It'll be in the title.
It's 11.
What's
billion?
Going on, people? It's been a little while. We've been off the, off the sauce, off the podcast sauce, I guess, and not in the chairs, making the magic happen. But we're back.
We're back today.
We're doing an afternoon.
It's an after Josh's birthday afternoon.
This is tax day.
Oh, is it? It is. That means it's
the whole point. Yeah, it's tax day.
Oh, I got to tell my sister happy birthday then. Kat's birthday is today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She's in Italy, though, right now.
So Kat gets credit for having the birthday on the day of Abraham Lincoln's death. That's kind of an interesting, cool one, too. Yeah. So good for her. I just get the days assassinated in 14.
And the Titanic day. That's you, too, right?
Yeah. But, well, we're talking about Kat and her birthday today. Yeah, so I'm just, yeah, that's the size of yesterday. We'll talk about that later, probably. But how are you doing, buddy?
I am outstanding, sir.
I saw you just a few hours ago, it feels like.
Cheers, sir. Cheers. Today's podcast is brought to you by Miller Lite and Dos Equis, our non-sponsors.
Hangover, also.
The movie, The Hangover?
No, not
the
movie.
The physical Hangover. The I'm not hungover.
The spirit of which we're... No, I don't think we're hungover, no, but we did have a long and excitingly fantastic fun day yesterday. Started off with a little punch to the gut, but I guess we can start talking about sports. I don't know if we're gonna talk about that game necessarily, but let's
dive into it. Listen, sports starts. We always start with sports, right? We go quick on it. The Texans are not doing. They have a bunch of offseason signings. They're looking tough.
The signings look really interesting from the outside. So I'm kind of excited about that a little bit.
The Astros are playing like dog shit. It's either they have a no hitter or a one hitter, or they give up 400 hits and have to pitch a position player because we're done throwing arms at him.
I'd like to spend a little time talking about this. So, there's an element of, like, the Astros, specifically with early being unsuccessful early in the season and how it seems like Houston fans, like, just want to, everybody wants to fire the coach, fire this new manager. Who's this guy?
Right, they jump off. They're already ready to jump off the Joe Spot experiment.
Yeah, they're trading half the staff away or half the team away. And so I'm just curious, your opinion, you're more, I guess, pragmatic and rational, I guess, about that, in my opinion. Are you concerned about the Astros, or do you have any, like, hope around the corner, or so kind of your thought on that?
I'm not concerned. What I am, I have not been able to personally engage enough watching the games right now, and part of that is, we had the NCAA tournament going on. That, and then early season baseball, I'm not one that's going to get, I understand what you're saying, there's a lot of fair weather fans, if you will. They're ready to jump off the train. We're going to sell the team. We're going to fire everybody. All that stuff. My answer over and over to them is, good thing is 162 games, right? Yeah. Do they come out the gate swinging? Most of the time, no. I mean, it's even when they're one or two looking good, the whole team's not clicking yet, and that's not unusual for our team, if you will, right? So my concern is not really there. It's I'm bored watching them right now. Some games are good. Like, the no-hitter was good. The next game was all right. And then they follow up no-hitters by getting the shit beat out of them. And, like, right now they still, in my opinion, they still fall back to the, if we get 16 hits one game, you can count on the next game one or two or not. Like, they just...
What's that about?
I don't know. It's inconsistency.
Yeah.
Or it's like they blow their load, and then the next day the next day they come back and they have that hangover, if you will. It's just not there, and it's
You also described that with regard to our pitching, which means that other teams are kind of having that against us as well, where they'll get 20 hits in a game and then get zero in a game. So that's not, I don't think, exclusive to the Astros necessarily, but it is kind of an interesting thing. And one other thing I'd like to add on to the fandom of the Astros, and I don't know, maybe not silly is not quite the right word, but maybe spoiled is the right word.
Oh, absolutely.
And the idea that, you won two championships in the last 5 years, and you had, deep runs, World Series losses, and deep runs, every other year for the most part. There's an element of the expectation is high, and so when they come out of the gate not winning, 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10, it's like, all right, fire everybody, we deserve better than this kind of thing. And you know, I think that that combined with the long season or the lack of, you know, their evaluation being in such a short time period kind of adds to the kind of silliness.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I understand other people said that it wasn't that, to, you know, coming out losing the games, getting swept. It was get swept by the Yankees.
Well, that confirms, sucked. Yeah.
And but, you know, if you look back on all the numbers of those games, it's, and when I was trying to tell, you know, the neighbors across the street who were ready to jump off a cliff, listen, you lost 4 1-run games. You were in every game. Like, it's not like you got your ass kicked by the Yankees. You just lost 4 1-run games. Okay, that sucks. It's annoying. And then you followed up with your first win as a fucking – it's a no-hitter from –
Yeah, I think the Yankees series also is, like, maybe exacerbated on how they lost those games. You got decent starting pitching for the most part.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
fell apart in the bullpen, which, you know, looking at – we just talked about the Texans, the moves they made all season. The Astros and their lack of moves, specifically with the bullpen, letting guys walk and not really replacing them. You know, they got a big, huge, big-name arm who we expect to be – you know, lights out and really hold down that back part of the rotation, but that middle relief is really, really weak. And so they're, you know, like, I mean, I think that's a fair analysis. Even a couple games in, it's like, okay, you know, looking outside in, you guys didn't really replace whatever Phil Maton,
what's his butt?
Yeah, anyways, let's not
La Flama Blanca. But we brought in Hader.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you're bringing in Hader, and he's one of the sport's best at that role, and so good that you're, like, you know, lights out near All Star, closer has to move to the setup role, right? And so you on paper have probably the best 7-8-9 in the game, but if you can't get to those guys because your middle really sucks and your starting pitching is, you know, injured. I mean, how they have almost a whole starting rotation on the IR right now.
Yeah, they do.
Let's go through the names.
Verlander, man, is he's at least in Sugarland. He's right. Doing
Framber's on the, Framber, McCullers, Verlander,
Urquidy,
and Garcia.
No. Yeah, Luis Garcia had didn't he have Tommy John last year? I think that's what happened with him. Old Cha Cha.
An entire starting rotation is on the IR. Yeah, we hope those guys come back. So I guess, you know, hope around the corner maybe is a way to think about the Astros. Yeah. Not getting too, you know, emotionally roller coastered through this early part of the season. And also, you know, maybe just like a life advice, like, you just not have your self-worth be tied to the Astros and their success to the point where it frustrates you so much. But that's, you know.
Yeah, it's then just and simple. Again, it's a good thing there's 162 games. You played fucking 8, 9, 10 of them, whatever, so far. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
There's also, like I don't know, the way I kind of view the Astros is, like, I want the Astros to be good for a long, long time, right? So, I'm, you know, like, there's an element of, you know, the ownership and management looks, you know, in these chunks of time, you know, 2 to 3 years out. And, you know, like, there's the phrases or the term of art is window. Like, the Astros window is open still, and it can still be open for a multitude of years. You know, they're going to have to replace some players. It looks like Abreu might be a miss.
Yeah,
with regard
he's not hitting worse shit this year, but he was decent last year at times, and I'm agreeing with you. But it's first base for the Astros right now is the fucking Achilles heel, and here's Homer. When we had Yuli, at least we had. Blah, listen, it does. He wasn't hitting worth the shit at the end
He signed with minor leagues with the Braves, I think.
Yeah, he went to Tampa last year, and then I saw something with him with the Braves this year.
Yeah, today. All right, anything else in the Astros? I mean, I think, you know, like, whatever, we can break down more of it, but, you know, still a lot of baseball to play.
Absolutely. I'm going to get another beer.
Oh, let's pause. No. Go.
So now we're back with a fresh beverage, and we're shifting, staying sports, but we're going to shift over to...
I feel like it's a misrepresentation of a fresh beverage. It's just a beer.
Is it football? Football. Not football Americano, though, but the football the rest of the world calls football. Yesterday was your birthday, Joshua. For those that don't know, today's... the day after Joshua's birthday.
We did that already.
His 43rd trip on the rock here. We've been around it a bunch of times. And yesterday, we went to watch your team.
Oh, shit. You can't say that when I'm taking a beer, bro.
What? Say
you can't talk about Globe Earth when I'm taking a beer.
we went and watched a foosball game for your birthday. Arsenal versus Villa. And it was, what's the name of that bar? Oak something?
Live Oak Tavern, I think.
Live Oak, yeah, it's at Live Oak Tavern. And, man, it was a trip to walk in there because it was packed. There's 200 people capacity. There's 200 people there, and 196 of them have jerseys on.
Yeah,
parents took their kids, and the kids are decked out like they're fucking ready to go play the game themselves.
Yeah, full kits is what we call that in the biz, sir.
I like it. I like it.
Yep. Yeah, I asked you to come tag along with me and watch a game at the local Arsenal meetup group or whatever. What is it called? There's a fan club, I guess, in Houston called Houston Gooners. When they have a spot, they meet up. And again, it's like, I don't know, you said 200 people. That doesn't seem far off. I think one of the things that I wanted you to experience from that was, And you nailed it with the jerseys. Like the idea of, you know, we live in Houston, Texas, and there's been plenty of times during the Astros playoffs where we're in a bar where there's nothing but Astros fans. Like that experience, like we all share that, you know, through that. But, you know, Arsenal, there's, you know, again, they play in England, London. So, you know, you don't, I never meet other Arsenal fans really. Like, yeah, when you do, it's like, oh my God, it's like an instant, you know, not brotherhood necessarily, but an instant, like, oh, we share something that's, you know, we're both passionate about, likely. So, yeah, I was talking about going down there, and you said you tag along, which was awesome. We had a really good time. But the idea that walking into a place and, like, just see a sea of, you know, well, it's different colors, but, you know, Arsenal jerseys, mostly red, and everybody kind of cheering and, you know, like, emotionally the highs and lows of a match, kind of shared in a way that, you know, I don't think you ever experienced before.
Definitely not for soccer, no.
It's, you know, I kind of described it before we went as, like, the closest you can get to being at the game. Like, it's nowhere near. It's, like, it's, you know, it's exponentially lower than, like, actually being at a game. But with regard to, like, watching it at home on your couch, you know, with your dog, that is, it is a really interesting experience. So, yeah, we did get to share that yesterday, and it was we had a hoot and a half.
And we got to experience it with the guy who brought his dog to the –
Oh, Max, my buddy Max.
The dog's yeah. Max. I don't think either of us got the guy's name.
No, the guy at earbuds and he was not a shit talking to us. He kept pulling Max away from me. I was like, oh, bro, it's cool. I'm a dog guy. And he's like, no comprende.
Yeah, he let us take over part of his booth, and then we took the other booth, and yeah.
Yeah, we unfortunately got there like at halftime because, you know, reasons. But, you know, again, and we don't need to really talk about the game because, you know, I really broke it out of my head yet, but or you can't, again, I don't care. But, you know, I think that, you know, sharing that experience and like, maybe you getting a glimpse in, like, you know, like, the interesting part about it, you know what I mean? I don't know if I got the right words, what I'm trying to say, but you get what I'm, go.
So, yeah, the experience itself, the energy in the bar, inside, outside, it was palpable. It's what I talked to or described to you, we've talked about many times. Like, you get, when we have watched soccer in the garage or anywhere, right, you're coaching through, you're yelling at the team, you're doing all the things that I do when it comes to MMA. And obviously, because clearly they can hear us through the television, they can hear us from the bar. But you and 198 other people were doing the same shit.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, the palpable part was the riding, the highs and the lows, mm-hmm. the interaction. Anytime there was a pass or a kick on, a shot on goal or anything. And every time that there was a, like you, when you would be, oh, foul, oh, no, no. 18 other people were saying the same thing, and it was just great.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because it was, like, again, like you said, the passion of the soccer fans that you don't run into that everywhere else. And definitely, I've never gone to a place in Houston where there's that many just soccer fans, and specifically a individual team, and you're all there just for that game.
Yeah, that's interesting, the comment you said about, you know, I would emote at a play or something, and, you know, there'd be a handful, if not a plethora of people relatively doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Which kind of is like, you know, the way I watch the game, I guess, is akin to that, right? You know what I mean? The ups and downs of knowing the nuance of the play, right?
Right.
There's emotion that's happening in that. And maybe it gave you, or maybe the interesting part is, like, it gave you some, like, oh, that is kind of the way people watch soccer in a certain way. Does that make sense?
I get what you're saying. Yeah, no, it was that. I understand that. What I was saying was interesting to me. It was just the, like I said, the same way I'm yelling at the TV when I'm watching MMA.
Yeah,
like I'm coaching these guys. Like, yeah, yeah. You're doing that, and it's not that I didn't expect other people to do that. It was just fun.
Yeah.
To have you and 18 other people, like, just different spots and all the TVs, and you're all saying something similar.
Right.
And it's.
We all saw the same thing the same way.
It's great because there's people, you're all coaching, you're all yelling at the TV, and it's...
Yeah, I remember a time where I did something like that, and you looked at me, and, like, people, you know, you heard the people behind me, and I was like, yeah, see, they agree. So
that was good times, man.
So it was fun, yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know, you can probably speak for yourself about, like, what it did for, like, you understanding soccer, like, appreciating soccer maybe a little bit differently. For me, I just enjoyed kind of showing that element of the game, right? Again, that collective... enjoyment of it, which, you know, we talked about the idea, like, the support by way of, like, you said, what was it, 96 out of 100 jerseys were worn, and I kind
absolutely,
of agree with
yeah.
you, and they weren't all the same. It wasn't just an army of
every color.
There was
red, the black one you had on, there was a bunch of black ones, there was a bunch of red ones,
we saw the pink pregnant lady in the pink one, right?
Was red and blue. I mean, there was red and white.
There were kids in the whole kit with the red
almost,
jersey,
I
white
think
shirt.
Every kid was wearing a full kit. If they weren't wearing it, like, they were,
and that's not like, it's not crazy different from Americans watching sports, but I don't think you get that high percentage. I mean, definitely you're going to support your team, a t-shirt or whatever, something, but like, I think something was interesting about the jersey element. Is that fair?
The jersey element was interesting. The full kit, as you're talking to describe it, that vernacular. I like that because, as I'm thinking that through, I'm laughing here, like, ha ha in my head, is that, like, you go to Texans games, kids, everybody's wearing a jersey. Most people are wearing a jersey, right?
Right.
But nobody's in a full kit. Nobody's decked out. Kids don't show up in their fucking pads ready to go.
It's a little different uniform for sure. But But I would also
I appreciate it. Do I like it?
Like, there's definitely support at a Texans game, right? And there's support at bars watching a Texans game. People can wear their Texans gear. I think the jersey element is a little bit different, though, because some people will wear jerseys, some people wear T-shirts, some kind of.
Right.
So, like, the jersey thing in soccer is interesting because, like, the uniforms change every year. You pretty much get three new jerseys or three new full uniforms every year.
Wow.
And so there's an element of, like, you can, like, map out when the person bought that jersey. Like, my black one is from last year, right?
Okay.
A lot of people wearing the red with the gold trim. That's this year's jersey.
Okay.
The yellow banana with JVC, that's one that was back in the early 2000s.
Wow.
So these are, like, retro jerseys. So that's what I'm saying. It's a different element. You noticed the jerseys, but you didn't understand the nuance between,
absolutely,
like, what the years were. And
I had no idea why. There was eight different colors. I had no idea what any of them meant.
Yeah, there's a green one. There's a red one. There's, and they have different sponsors on the front shirts. That's that's also kind of a representation of the era of, you know what I mean? It's like different sponsors have certain runs that your jerseys will, like JVC was a sponsor. O was O2, what I don't remember what the company is. Right now it's Emirates. It says Fly Emirates on there.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting, again, nuance. And you know, I think, again, jerseys are different in soccer. You know, the fact that the sponsors logo is so big and that we identify jerseys kind of with that as well,
right,
is so unique compared to American sports, because American sports will have low jerseys or advertisements, if you will, brand names on them, but they're, like, you know, secondary. They're, you know,
yeah, it's just patches, little things. That one, and it was Visit Rwanda, and I was like, why the fuck is Visit Rwanda all over the stadium? He's like, that's the sponsor. It's a group, travel group that got together. That's their logo.
Yeah.
Slogo. That's their slogo. We'll go with that.
That's the name of the episode, Slogo.
What an idiot.
We created a new word. So I think the jersey element, and I don't know if I spat on this podcast before, but I said to other people, I said, I love the way European soccer does their uniforms. They get three uniforms every single year. There's always a home, there's always a away, and there's always an alternate, right?
And was the black one, is that the alternate that you were wearing? Was that the alternate?
It's typically, for Arsenal, it's red home, and then the away is a light color, like a white or a yellow, and then the alternate is like something.
Yeah, I did see somebody wearing a yellow one, too, yesterday. I was like, why is there a yellow fucking jersey?
Yeah.
And then you said there was a green one. I saw somebody with a green one, too.
Right. The green one is there. Third jersey this year, I want to say.
What I really loved is, obviously they didn't win, but what I loved was, like, not just the passion of the fans there, but, like, the palpableness also when they scored and they scored again. It, like, people got up, went inside, changed, got their shit, and fucking left.
The dejectedness.
They were,
like,
just pissed.
Yeah,
it was, it's, yeah, fuck this. And it was like, you could feel it.
The emotion, the raw.
Just,
like,
done.
Yeah.
I'm going home. Done.
Yeah. There's an element of, like, you know, leaving the stadium early, like at games, right? In England, for example, there is an element of when a herd of fans leave the stadium, it is kind of a protest of the, especially a home team, for example, right?
Right.
The home team gets up and leaves before the game's over.
Right.
Is like, yeah, this is disrespectful on purpose.
Yeah, because fuck you.
Yeah.
You showed us off.
You showed us shit. You don't deserve our eyeballs any longer.
You pissed us off. I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it is rude, and, like, people would make fun of it in American sports, we call that fair weather.
Fans, sure, yeah.
Right, but, like, there is an element of, like, there's deeper meaning to it than
it doesn't surprise me. I didn't know it, but it doesn't surprise,
like,
me that soccer fans, like, it's a known thing, is what I heard you say there in soccer, that when the fans stand up and leave, it is a formal protest, if you will, or informal protest.
Yeah, it can be. Like, how about this? In baseball games, the Astros win in 10-0, right? You're going to have some fans leave also. Anyway, hang on to see the end of it.
Sure.
If the Arsenal's winning 5-0 at home, nobody's leaving.
Oh,
nobody's leaving that. You know what I mean?
I believe
so, like, the idea that you'd ever leave a game early is disrespectful, kind of, in that culture.
Right.
Again, this is a subculture. It's not really known. But and so when you do leave early, it is an element of protest. Like, here, it's like, we're just going to beat the traffic, which is, like, bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, oh,
sure.
you know, you're going to watch the last play of the team that you love because you're going to beat the traffic. By the way, I'd beat the traffic every time. But you know what I mean? But that's in soccer, when you're up 5-0, nobody's leaving. They're going to be there to the end, and they're going to do chants, and they're going to stay. Like, a stadium may be longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just a different different element.
Different animal. And I'll tell you what, the only other different animal yesterday at that Live Oak Tavern was the entire fucking time. I said, where can we park? And, you know, Josh, you tried to park a goddamn tank.
Dude. But we didn't know.
We didn't. We pulled back there, and it was like, oh God. How many point turn would we say? At least 19?
I don't know, man.
It was somewhere between 19 and 26 point turn.
We're lucky we had a backup camera, and you basically sacrificing your legs to be destroyed, so I didn't hit that one car. But, yeah. It was, like, I had no idea how that truck ended. Like, if we took a drone over that parking lot and said, okay, here's the way the truck was facing, and this is how we got it going to go this way, you'd have been like, that's impossible. Like, no, there's no way.
The physics works. But oh my God!
The geometry doesn't work there, sir.
Like I said, I'm going to call it somewhere between 19 and 26 point turn, and it was every bit of that because it was like, all right, and back up and a little bit.
So when we say we got there at halftime, like we'd have got there like 15 minutes into the game. we had to go to this parking lot. There may have been 50 cars there. It was built for like 35.
Yeah, it was my front yard. They had 50 cars parked in my front yard.
Yeah, by parking lot. There was like a gravel rock.
The big area was not much bigger than my whole front yard. How the adventures fuck did fit that many cars in there?
Yeah, the adventures were early and often.
Well, and then we tried to park across the place straight. Pizza place, a fucking asshole.
By the way, if we look ourselves in the face, we know that wasn't appropriate. There's not one car in the place, and the restaurant was just opening, right? And the parking lot across the street is like completely full, jam packed, and the bar's full, and like nobody's parked over here. It's like, wait a minute, we're the only ones clever enough to go across the street so far. Yeah. Really, once thought of that, and the guy promptly came out and shoot us away.
But you know, we did say that we should have done, and next time we will. Right, we go there, we'll park, go inside, buy a fucking Coke, and then go across the street.
Oh, that's mean.
Or like we said, we were gonna go across the street, fucking park in three spots, and get a pizza, and then be dickheads.
That was. Yeah. Okay. That was driven.
Now we're bad. Yeah. No, but I tell you what. Once we left there, I really, really enjoyed us stopping at Mexcal Cantina, man.
Yeah.
Driven by it 8,000 times. It used to be Joe's Crab Shack, in case you didn't know.
Yeah,
so. So we went and sat, and we had a Mezcal margarita, and they gave you a shot for your birthday, too, which was terrible. It was fucking piss-warm tequila.
Oh, and they were, like, insistent that I drink it, and I was like, you know, I don't take shots.
It worked better by me pouring it into our damn margaritas, but Jesus Christ, I took a sip of it. It was terrible. I was like, oh, God. I don't need training wheels. That one I didn't need. I just needed to not drink it. It was bad. But in the margarita, it was fine. And then let's give props to whatever props are due. That fucking tostada.
Bro, it was good. It was, yeah, it was surprisingly good. Let's kind of unpack the story. So at this point, I was like, I need to eat. Let's eat something. I'm like, okay, yeah. Let's eat something. So in my weird way that I sometimes go to restaurants, just ask them to bring me something. Which weirds people out sometimes, but I think I've honed in how to ask about it, right?
And it was a good one. Yeah.
So I said, hey, we'd like to eat something. It's like, I'm looking at appetizer. Like, what's the last appetizer you had, or what's your favorite appetizer here? And so she recommended.
And she was like, she has it's just this, but it's not really on there. Okay, well, what is it? And she said it's a tostada, whatever, blah blah. He said, bring us two. Let's go. And then when they brought it out, it was funny. We both looked at it. Was like, I don't want that. Like, it just looked like it was gonna be too much. And then we took that first bite, and a tostada with as melty of the cheese and everything, all the shit on top of it, all the shrimp,
yeah,
and fresh sliced avocado.
And the tostada.
What's
remained,
that white cheese that they put on the little?
I don't remember. There's lots of white cheeses, but I don't remember what that one was.
Whatever the Mexican sprinkle cheese, but
we were both amazed by how crunchy the tostada was underneath all that like saucy cheesy goodness.
Yeah, and it was crispy the whole time. Like, how'd they do that? Good job. It's really props. Yeah. Props to them. And then the mezcal margarita that's also not on your menu. But the bartender went ahead and made us a mezcal margarita.
Bartenders were great.
They were talented.
There's nobody in there. So, like, you know, whatever. It was just us. But they were awesome. I think they're both from Honduras.
Yep.
Do you remember the cities where they're from?
No.
Tegucigalpa and maybe, let's see, I got a map. San Pedro Sula, maybe?
There you go.
I don't know. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Some of our favorite people are from Tegucigalpa. But, they were great. They were accommodating, and like the service was solid. Like, we wanted mezcal margaritas. They didn't really do that. The tostada was something that was just kind of like what she liked to eat. So
yeah.
it was really cool. It was a really good experience. We did have to almost beg to get the Astros game on, but
yeah, and I still never got the Masters on. Like, the guy came around, the manager came around, he flipped.
You know what? Let me cut this out. We're actually gonna not talk good about them on anymore. They didn't put the Masters on for you.
They didn't put the Masters on. But that's right, though. Here's what I was gonna say. The other thing. What epitomizes the day, what captured it for me, was the picture, though. They came around.
Oh, boy.
They came around. That guy was hilarious. He's like, we're going to take a picture. And he said, are you a couple? I said, yes. And so the picture we got, a picture I bought, is Josh and I are laughing so hard. We should stick it on this podcast somewhere. But
oh boy,
what did Jessica say about that picture? By the way,
I don't know if she said anything other than I don't know. I don't think we talked about it much.
Because
I said just described what it was to her. She said, "Huh."
Like, I sent it to Nicole, and Nicole's response was, "What a cute couple."
I don't know why I have to tell this part of the story on the podcast.
Because it's great. What I'm saying with us, that to me epitomized the day, how much fun it was. It was a fucking blast.
We were goofballs. Yes.
It was a blast.
If someone would come out with roses, I would have made Nick buy me a rose. That's kind of the theme of the night.
Exactly.
All right. Let's. Anything else about the game, Arsenal experience? We're talking sports. We're getting to
we're
break
getting,
almost.
Yeah, we're getting to break time. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a pause here and we'll get conspiracy theories afterwards.
All right. Are we back? Are we here?
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we're going to start off, I guess, with conspiracy theories. I guess that's kind of what we talked about just a second ago. But let me set it up by saying this. Like, it seems to me, or maybe appears to be, or like people would say that conspiracy theories are, in so many ways have become like the future news. Like, they just can keep getting proven true. So there's a bunch of stuff going on right now. P. Diddy is accused of all kinds of crazy stuff. But there's an interesting conspiracy about Dave Chappelle. Where, you know, if you remember the famous leaving Chappelle show and apparently leaving, what, $40 or $50 million on the mm-hmm, on the table, right. Going to Africa, right? So there's a conspiracy theorists that would say that said the person that came back wasn't Dave Chappelle. It looked different body type, so on and so forth. Again, when I present these things, I don't mean that I subscribe to them, but here's an interesting clip from Jim Breuer talking to Roseanne. Which is hilariously awesome in so many ways.
Sure.
About Dave Chappelle. I'm like, we'll talk about it afterwards.
Or did you just go different ways?
No. We I think different ways, but I'll put something out there that I don't know if he. We were filming a movie, and he also had a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
From HBO and or not HBO, Comedy Central.
Comedy
and all
Central,
this shit, right?
The worst bunch of people on earth.
Horrid. Mm-hmm. He then, while he was on the show, when it was blowing up, and we remember the Aspen Comedy Festival? I don't know.
Yeah, that was fun. I did that too.
He came there and he was freaked out.
Yeah.
I said, What's going on? And all I could say is he was visited.
Yeah. That's what shit. I think too.
And when he told me who visited him, my heart stops for a second.
Oh,
I'm like, get the fuck. And I'll never forget. He went, "You believe me, right? You believe me, Jim, right?" And I could. He's like, "They came to me," and he said the names. I'm like, get the fuck. And what happened? And then all of a sudden, he went to Africa.
Yeah, that's what I remember happening. But they never really said what happened. Was he threatened? I mean, I don't know how much you want.
I don't
you
have.
Can't, you can't.
I can, that's okay. None of my business.
Okay.
But I know for a fact.
He was corrected.
He said, correct.
Yeah.
He was, hey, by whoever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we need to have a conversation. Would you like some of your own coffee in your house?
What?
Yeah. Like that heavy shit. And that's the first time, you know, I would. And so when I saw him come back, it was a lot less communication. And maybe he just, you know, maybe he just grows, whatever. But I can honestly say, and maybe I'm crazy for, and I am crazy for saying this.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw him completely come back, I really questioned if that was him.
Yeah, I know, right? I think that's
And it. I know that's really crazy.
I think those same things, yeah.
I know that's crazy.
Well, it's no crazier than that. Oh, the trains are going off the rails.
I tell you what, these fucking boats are running into bridges. Son of a bitch, the goddamn fucking electricity went out. And, you know, let me get the you know what? The black box don't work. Son of a bitch, it's been working for years and years. And all of a sudden, this fucker went out of business. So we don't know what happened. All we know is this fucking ship. Yeah. Whoopsie daisy. Okay. Aliens in the mall. Yeah. Can we go to aliens?
Okay. Let's go to aliens in Miami walking around the mall. Come on, Roger. Can we get another bombing somewhere?
Yeah, holy shit. Okay, so we listened to that yesterday, yep. And I have zero recollection of it. I might have been inebriated slightly yesterday for your birthday. That's why I did it. It was for you,
yeah,
for your birthday,
thank you,
Josh.
Thank you for that.
That clip, yep, you may have played the whole fucking thing for me yesterday.
All right, let's just talk about your thoughts about it, whether you're not.
So I like that he was visited and he was corrected.
That was Roseanne's words, corrected, and he said correct on corrected. Yeah. The other interesting thing, I think, is that, you know, it wasn't him when he came back. And, like, that can mean so many different things. But people have taken that kind of concept to mean that maybe he was cloned, which I find fascinating.
We talked about the Netflix when they cloned Tyrone. And then I told you the new House Party movie that Kid Cudi, the rapper, he's on there. And in the movie, he takes the guys to an Illuminati party to get a LeBron James ring because they have all the championship rings there, blah, blah. He ends up getting killed during a... think of The Purge, where the rich people fucking are entertained by hunting people. Like, he's in a battle like that, and he ends up getting killed. And when the two guys that are the main characters of this house party, and they're like, oh, you know, sorry, you were this and this. He said, y'all are the best friends I've had in a long time. They're like, dude, we just met you like an hour ago. And they're like, don't die, this and this. And he said, don't worry, they'll bring me back. And at the end of the movie, and he said, I'm actually the fourth Cudi anyways. And they're like, what? At the end of the movie, he wakes back up and literally, and he sees him and he's like, oh, I'm back. And his hair changes color immediately.
So, okay. I don't fit enough for this question yet. Do you, give me like a scale of 1 to 100, 0 to 100, 0 being, you can't use 0 or 100. Your percentage you think that cloning human beings is something that technologically is possible and probably is going on. Just that start
technologically
there.
Possible, I'd say, and a high 90% possible.
Okay.
And it's going on, I'd say probably up there is in that at least 75% or more going on, sure.
Okay.
Conceptually, like the movie, it's the movie The Island, it's Ewan McGregor and my girl Scarlett Jo. They are all...
I think she's mid, by the way. Hey, I do not think she's attractive.
Hey, you know what? You shut up.
She's just average.
You're out of your mind because you're old now. You've lost your fucking vision too. You can't see. Anyways, in that movie, the people are living underground. They think that the planet has been some sort of, you know, there's a Armageddon, nuclear, whatever, blah. But there's a place that they get to go. It's called the Island. And once you're selected in the lottery every day, the whoever gets selected to go to the island, they get to go and they're going to go live in Happy Land, right? What reality is each one of these people is they're a clone. They're an insurance policy for rich people. So
they clone the rich people?
The rich people have, Ewan McGregor.
Do they want to be cloned?
Oh, yeah. So Ewan McGregor gives his DNA to make a copy of him so that when his lungs are going to fail, so he can has a fresh set of lungs.
And
right.
What is his consciousness? What's the word? Moved over from him to
no, them? He's still alive. It's this clone is a person who doesn't know that they're a clone.
Do they have a history? They have a blank history or something? Curious how this works.
Their upbringing, their childhood, what they remember is all brainwashed and programmed to them.
Okay,
they don't exist really until they're adults. Like they grow them to that point, and gotcha. It's all fed in.
Got it. It's part of the program. Okay, so you told me two movie stories. With regard to you think it's really happening. So do you think the movies are revelation of the method is
yes.
a phrase? Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's really going on. Who do you think has this technology? Is it like governments only? Is it people in power?
The technology to clone or,
yeah.
I mean, medically I would say, I don't know, any rich country would have the technology, I would assume.
Why would you assume that?
I mean, it's, you asked who do I think would have it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know those individual people, but I mean, there's, rich people who know people, I guess is what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, but okay, there's rich people, and then there's like people who, like, there's Illuminati, and then there's, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? There's the people that rule the world. Like, I guess maybe I'm asking, like, I don't think every rich person has access to it. I don't think every rich country has access to it. I think this is like an ultra elite situation.
I would say probably you got to have your bank account has to have 9 fucking zeros, and you got to have the billion, and then and we talk.
Nah, I don't even think it's that. I think like not all billionaires get access to this either.
That's the first marker in order to.
I think it's like the thems and theys. That's who I think would be using this, and that's kind of why it's interesting to talk about like celebrity, and kind of like.
How long ago was that Jim Brewer Roseanne podcast or interview?
I don't know. I can look.
It seemed relatively recently because he was talking about the boats and the
yeah, you know, exactly. The within the last month, I would have to say, right?
I feel like I've seen don't know, 10 different fucking times where the one in Baltimore happened, and then there's been 8 other boats. I feel like they were hit bridges and this and this and this, and like what the fuck is going on?
That's an interesting observation, because it's like, okay, is this always been going on, and now they're just reporting about it, or is this some kind of anomaly? And like, you know, it's like, you know, he was joking around about the black box not being there, but that's kind of one of the stories. It's like, you know, it's like, that's always sus when the black box is otherwise it can't be discovered, it can't be used, or it was turned off. You know what I mean? It's like, what?
It was put on the helicopter for Uncle Maud's you know, Grand Canyon tours. And
yeah.
Shit.
Earlier, what were we talking about earlier? We were talking about the idea of like how people don't maybe. Like how it's so easy for people oftentimes to like look past what you and I kind of see is like obvious like holes in the story, mm-hmm. and just kind of accept things. Oh, well, you know, the government makes mistakes, or, you know, you break a few eggs and make an omelet kind of deal. Like with regard to anytime you hear of a suicide with two bullets to the head, how does anybody go? Oh, yep. You know, that makes sense to me. Like, that's one of those things on
extra
surface.
Mad. You're extra mad at yourself. Yeah, that's what you said twice.
On the surface, it's like, okay, the probability, I'm not even saying it's impossible. I think the probability is so low that, you know, you have to have scrutiny around it. And when it's not scrutinized, then when everybody just accepts it, goes, news told me to, like, it's, you know, to me, it's frustrating. We were talking earlier about in the same vein of like, how do people accept things as true and okay, whatever, in a way that, like, it's hypocritical on its face. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And we were talking about the idea of overthrowing countries and how, you know, we were kind of talking about Iran and how the U.S. probably had a hand in overthrowing their democratically elected government at one point. And, you know, not Americans. I don't know how to describe this, but many people are like, oh, well, yeah, you know, because we were, you know, doing that for the freedom of the people, you know.
Right.
And those same people would probably always also be, you know, enraged by, you know, the January 6th. Like, you know, they're trying to take over the government and this and that, you know. That's the hypocrisy that I'm trying to, like, frame up, right? It's like, on one instance, you know, the winning team when America helped out across the world, good job. But, you know, that same – not that those are the same things, but, like, a completely different view on it for America. For example, like – revolution, good, right? Overthrowing a tyrannical government, good.
Absolutely.
There. Civil war, bad. You can't. That's traitorous to leave a country. Are you kidding me? Right? You
well,
can't
that,
do that.
And it's we'll make sure that, you know, American democracy, we want to share and spread it with the world as much as possible. And when other countries have democratically elected officials that we don't happen to like, again, speaking hyperbole for the United States here, but that's different. Your democratically elected person, your democracy was not the right one. What you missed is it's not just democracy; it's American democracy. So we got to help you with the American democracy. And
is that a special kind of democracy?
Well, yeah, clearly, because American democracy is where we can help you. We can help you get rid of the wrong elected person because we don't like them, and we'll tell you that this is the right way to elect and this is the right person.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah,
and it's like, but that's good. That's how it works. American democracy.
America. That concept, I think, of like I called it hypocrisy. What did I call it? Hypocrisy, democracy?
Hypocrisy of democracy.
Yeah, hypocrisy of democracy. This idea of like democracy only means the opinions that I hold and the group that I associate with that hold those same opinions. That's democracy. Like, it's not about voting. It's just I want to play in the place where my ideas are the plurality, the majority.
We're playing the game called I Win.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much, that's it. Yeah,
a jack, a four, a seven, and a nine.
If you don't think like me, you should be oppressed. Like, you should. Like, if...
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. If you don't think like me, you should be oppressed.
Of course.
What?
If you have wrong, think, you're a danger to my society. That's the truth, right? If you like Donald Trump, you quite literally believe in a rebirth of Hitler, and therefore you should be locked in jail.
Pretty much. I mean, like, if you support Trump, that makes you the devil, and you hate people, you hate America, you hate
the devil. Doesn't work. It's that the other group does the devil for the other side.
Oh yeah, my bad. I'm sorry. I get confused. With my atheist stance. I forgot which time I'm supposed to eat a baby. What day? You know.
I'm here to clean it up.
It's Monday. It's baby eating day. I haven't eaten one yet.
No, if you like Trump, you want women to die at childbirth, and you want to force women to, I don't know. I was going to say a bunch of gross stuff, but let's not do that.
Well, no, it's the joke that Marcus made tonight. You'll see the winner. The two Chinese ladies were fighting the title. He said one of them gets the title, the other one doesn't get to have any children. I was like, whoa,
nice. I'm reading a book to Starburst about culture and matriarchy or patriarchy, like as we kind of understand in America, about that was a fictional book, so I'll preface that. But it's about samurai culture and like 16th
century shogun.
Yeah, it's the book about that's actually the book. That's it. But there's an interesting part about like the women's role and how subservient they are to the men, and also like the caste system. You know, we abhor that as Americans in so many ways. Although we kind of developed a, like an underscore of it. It's just like we don't do
it's
that.
A less caste.
Yeah,
system.
We don't do that, right? But we do in so many other ways.
It's my mind just when I'm chuckling. It's the Shane Gillis who's talking about all the shit with George Washington. He's like, we're not gonna, you know, that human trafficking thing that they were doing. We're not gonna hold that against the guys that founded the country, right? No, yeah. That's no big deal. That's fine.
Wink.
No, that's cool. It was necessary. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now I understand. Yeah. It was necessary. Got it.
Done. All clear. Crystal clear.
George Washington, 6 foot tall, had red hair.
We probably we don't have to do it right this second, but we probably also should have, and we should probably do this every year, but have our 2 minutes of hate towards Abraham Lincoln since.
Is it today his birthday?
No, today he died. Today. He got shot.
So it's his death birthday, dude. It's his death birthday, dude.
I was talking to people that don't really know me in my politics or my stances on this about Abraham Lincoln in a way that
How is your favorite president? Let's start that. Abraham Lincoln is Josh's favorite president.
You're being sarcastic, and the people won't understand because your face obviously says that. But so I started this conversation with Abraham. You know, my. I saw my birthday, and I said, Abraham Lincoln got shot on my birthday. And they're like, oh. And I said, you know, there's also the Titanic sinking. It's my birthday. It struck the iceberg on my birthday. Okay. Yeah. But the Abraham Lincoln thing is interesting because I follow that up with, like, yeah, he's our worst president. So it's a day to celebrate. And they're like, what? Because that's not what they're told. You know, he's the great emancipator. The reason why I hate him so much, number one, he was derelict of his duties as president in the most egregious way. And we can unpack that in a second. But also the idea that he is propped up as one of the great presidents, one of the great thinkers, one of the great freers of humankind and people is such a myth. And it deserves to be like ripped apart at every fucking chance. So that's my added disdain is like, you know, the story around him is so falsely narrated that it deserves to be destroyed.
Well, it's still from one side all the time, and it's what pops in my mind there, and it's from South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, and they're, you know, it's Operation Human Shield. It's a very important first wave. It's all the black guys. They're Battalion 14, and then everybody else is the other battalion. It's their Battalion 14 is Operation Human Shield. The rest of them are their operation is called Operation Get Behind the Darkies. And so Chef says, he says to the general, he's like, have you ever heard of the Emancipation Proclamation? And the general says, I don't listen to hip hop.
All right.
Oh, fuck.
I'm glad you interjected my rant on Lincoln to tell that story because I was probably going to get heated. But I will take this time to.
Have you ever heard of the Emancipation Proclamation? I don't listen to hip hop.
I'm not really into the hippity hoppity. my brain just starbursting twice. Let's do Lincoln real quick while we hate Lincoln. Lincoln was derelict of his duties. He's not the great emancipator.
You gotta keep going because I'm just gonna keep laughing right now.
I know, I've done this with you before. I forget the amendment or whatever. There's an amendment that was out before the 13th amendment he was on board with, which just allowed the South to keep the slaves as long as there was no expansion of slave holding states as it grew west. That was the original plan for the original 13th Amendment. So this idea is the Great Emancipator is so false. The Emancipation Proclamation only freed the slaves in the South. They didn't, the belligerent states, the states
well,
fighting.
I love it specifically, the belligerent states. So who was belligerent? Which state was belligerent?
I like calling them that, by the way.
I appreciate it because it's, even if it doesn't say it in the wording of it, but I think that's the message, right? And for sure, it's you guys do it because this only applies here. Everybody else over here has already fallen in line, and we could stay this way because everything's hunky dory up here.
Yeah,
it doesn't. North of the Mason Dixon, this is not where it applies because here's classy.
Right. So there were slave auctions going on in northern states. I forget which one now because, you know, got alcohol, but I wasn't really prepared to talk about this, even though I don't miss too many chances to talk about this. He locked up journalists. He locked up journalists indefinitely for writing badly about the war, right? In America, we have this thing, the First Amendment, the very first one.
Freedom of press and speech.
And the real reason behind that is we didn't want to have a society where whoever's in charge could lock up their enemies and otherwise fight you know, bad words about them, which is another way to say propaganda, right? Yeah, now we use propaganda. It's like, oh, we can't lock them up, so we'll just, you know, disseminate bad information out over the world, and that'll just be the truth as we understand it. So that's what, you know, journalists indefinitely for talking bad about his actions in the war. That's one of the most egregious things a president could do. Like, could you imagine if Trump was doing that, by the way? Because Obama kind of did.
Listen, what I was going to say as you're thinking about that is, so Lincoln locked up people for the free speech, right? And the fighting of foresight free speech and freedom of the press, etc. The juxtaposition of that would be Larry Claxton Flint, the founder of Hustler magazine, because he went to jail a bunch of times, but he fought for actual freedom of speech and press, constantly pushing the other side, saying it's not you can't lock me up for fucking speaking and exposing, and it's press, it's freedom, I can print this, I can say these things. And he went to jail a bunch of times, but ended up going to the Supreme Court and winning, you know, the case in regards to, you know, you can't regulate morality. We can't, it just because somebody says something that you don't like or it hurts your feelings, that doesn't mean they get to go to jail, and it doesn't mean you get to sue them.
Well, I mean, yeah, it shouldn't anyways. We should probably think about it. But that was an example of pushing back against that. But there is a sway that, like, I was listening to somebody talk about a European privacy laws. It's not privacy, that's not the right word, but like censorship laws and things like that. If you say mean stuff on the internet, you can be arrested and put in jail for it, right?
Which is fucking ridiculous.
Which is bonkers.
Do you understand? We'd already been arrested 17 times for this fucking 46 minutes of podcast right now.
Ooh, we have?
Yeah, we could have been. Like, if something
Hold
we.
Hold on, I'm deleting this thing right now. What did we admit in this podcast?
If we said something and offended somebody.
Oh, offensive. I'm sure.
It's 46 minutes of. 46 minutes of
I've
offensive.
Never met anybody offended by me saying Abraham Lincoln was the worst president.
You've never met anybody offended?
Offended. Like, that's a ridiculous statement. Like, I'm offended by you thinking that. Like, people have, like, question me or otherwise not broken through what I would call their indoctrination, but whatever. But I've never had me literally offended. I rue the day. Like, I, you know what I mean? Not to like, you know.
Maybe they haven't said it out loud to you, but you've seen their appalled face.
No, not. I don't mean like I can't wait till I meet someone. But I don't mean like because I want to slap them down with it. But I really want to understand where they come from if when presented with these facts and things. Like, that's the really curious part. It's like, you know, my association with Abraham Lincoln is like, he was my dude. You know what I mean? Like when you first learn about Abraham Lincoln, he's like, oh my God, the best president. I mean, come on. That slavery is the worst thing that's ever happened in human history, by the way, because it's like forced that to us. But he ended that. He literally did that, right?
Right. Not only did he do that, remember, he was a vampire hunter too.
Well, that came later on. We discovered that was later on information. That was hidden documents, which just added to his legend, as far as I'm concerned.
He's a 7 foot tall vampire hunter who rapped too.
I remember he was
a rapper.
I remember I was reading a textbook once. And this is like, you know, I liked history early on, and it was you know how they would have like a quote that was like in the middle of a page, and all the paragraphs would be around this big quote, and it was like in cursive, like, you know what I mean? Right? And it was like, if I could free all the slaves to save the Union, I would do that, Abraham Lincoln. I'm like, fuck yes, my dude, bro. That's my guy, right? Yeah. You kidding me? Like, that's ending oppression. That's serious stuff, right? And then you figure out the whole quote, which was like,
The whole quote
is something like, if I could keep the slaves to save the Union, I would do that. If I would free some slaves and keep some slaves to save the Union, I would save that. My whole goal is to save the Union. And it's like, I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Right,
but why did they only show that one part? And why didn't they give the rest of the part? Like, the other rest of the part adds some nuance to what's going on.
The rest of the part actually makes it better. Like, the snippet of, you know, if I could do this to save the Union, then I would do it. Okay, if the message I hear there is that all of those are, I'm saying, I'll do whatever the fuck I have to do to save the Union.
The motive is saving the Union.
Right, then every word is important, but they nitpick and they cut down. This is what I want him to say here. It's the
it's narrative generating.
What are we talking about? Goddamn, propaganda. It's propaganda because it's propping one up and the other. Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah, so that's where my It's been more than 2 minutes. 2 minutes hate for Abraham Lincoln. You're welcome, everybody. There's more to it. Do your research. Go look up Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Like, he didn't always just kill vampires. Right. He killed other people, too.
And then you got to go look at the original Emancipation Proclamation, and it's on point with, like, Pac and Biggie. It was a fucking, it was rap. It could flow.
Listen, I think that what Nick is trying to say is, like, they don't do bars like they did back in the olden days. Back in the day, they dropped bars.
Beats. Here, let's take a pause. I gotta get a drink. That's what we're talking about, dropping bars, baby.
Yeah.
That is one of the little known fucking raps that Abraham Lincoln penned back in the
1800s. That's actually Abraham Lincoln's wife that did that.
That's also
what's
not
his wife's name? What was her name?
Something Lincoln. No, Mrs. Lincoln.
That's right. How was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? How'd you enjoy the play?
Oh man, the other day I did pretty much that in not so grandiose way. A couple got their car broken into the restaurant.
And other than that, how was the meal?
And we were just having this vibe, and I was like, "Was the food?" Because they were from out of town. I was like, "How was
Oh no, how was your experience? How was the food?
Had I not said it after that, like right there, it didn't seem as bad to me now. But now I feel kind of bad about it.
Nah, this shit happens. You said it with a smile, with love. Your motive was love, and trying to make them. I'm projecting here,
concern about their car. But
it sucks.
It does suck, man. I've been a victim of pretty egregious theft.
Super. What was it? You had a monster truck for a while. They took the catalytic.
They took my catalytic converter on my last Tundra. Yeah, like at a what I would consider, like, I paid $20 for that part. I paid $20 to get my catalytic converter stolen.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was really awesome. We turned the fucking truck on, and it was, whoa! Like, oh my god!
Yeah,
it just happened. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And we're going 4 miles an hour, and it sounds like we're in a monster truck.
Yeah, it was.
We're going 40, and it was like, oh my god, I can't hear anything.
We decided to drive home.
Yeah, I called Nicole, and we were in the car, and I said, you hear how loud this is? And she said, yeah. I said, they stole his catalytic converter, blah blah. So we're going 40 right now. She's like, really? Yeah. We're going to get pulled over because we sound like assholes. That's what I thought. I was like, you're just going to sound like...
The cops are going to thumbs up. Nice, nice, nice exhaust, bro.
You know what it was? I forgot. We were a white guy driving a big white truck.
It was not a white truck, but
no, it's a white guy truck.
Yeah. Oh, I do project.
You were driving while white, which is, you know, it's and then it was doing. They thought that's why we got the thumbs up.
Well, but rednecks don't get the quite same. Like, I project more in the lawyerly kind of, like, oh, I guess this guy might be a problem. We better not. No. Whereas
he probably knows somebody.
Every light on the dashboard was on that trip home. It was quite an adventure.
It was the loudest we've ever been. Like, we could have just rolled down the windows and stuck our head out, and it'd have been quieter.
We tend to have adventures, sir.
That we do.
We gotta cut this whole section out. This is ridiculous.
Nah, we cut nothing. You know what's the best part of these podcasts is we do often say we're gonna edit this and cut this, and I say
whoa.
We say this, and then me, Nick, and the council do jack shit with that, and it's up to you to do the editing.
Hold on. Then
I go back and listen, and I laugh because it's like Josh said he was going to edit this, and then it's still there. He's like, if this part is still there, that means
you? I need to stop you now. It took you 47 episodes to realize that was just a bit that I was going to say I'm going to edit, but I'm actually not going to take it out.
By the way, this is episode 57, no, not 47. Not.
I'm pretty sure it's 47.
We established that it was 622.
I just said it's 48. Please, sir.
Listen, just because you're 43 and you forget things now.
I gotta get my age on there.
This section of the podcast is called Random Numbers by Nick and Josh. Just, ladies and gentlemen, remember, your first new number of the day is 11-teen.
I don't know if I ever told the story on this podcast, but it's
I don't feel like you acknowledged 11-teen there.
11-teen. Let me tell the story because... It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's
ridiculous as 11-teen?
We're done with 11-teen. It's ridiculous. Ooh. So I had this joke with my kids that I'm an alien. It's like, dad's an alien. You know, weird and different. I'm an alien, right? Like, girls, you're not an alien, dad. And I was like, of course I'm an alien. Like, you're half alien now. Like, what planet are you from? I forget what planet I'm from. Narabu. It's been a long time since I've been back to my home planet, Nick. Just give me some grace here.
Hey, listen,
hold on. Let me tell you how this story goes.
I'm pleased to meet somebody from Narabu. Is that what you said?
Narabu. Listen, it's tough to translate in your human tongue. Just so you know. Gotcha. Okay. So the girls are like, you're not an alien. One day, like, you know, whatever. Let's see how deep the story can go for that. And I said, listen to me. Let me tell you a story. So April 14th, 1981, is the first day that So once upon a time, we had the Apollo missions. They were like capsules that landed, mm-hmm. right? Went to mm-hmm. space and the moon. And they landed in the ocean, right? And then we had the space shuttle program. And these things would fly, whatever, get rocket launched up into space and then fly home and land like a plane, right? So the first one ever, Columbia, landed April 14, 1981. And my mom always swore that it happened while I was being born. She's like, yeah, the nurse is running out in the, yeah. you know, whatever, waiting room, looking at the TV, whatever. You know, mom exaggerates things. So mm-hmm. I took mom's story about that and expanded it and said, well, yeah, girls, I came on that spaceship. You know what I mean? Like, so that's how I came to this planet. So now that story has gotten so big that my mom texted me today. Like, my mom is, like, on my birthday, not today, yesterday, actually, mm-hmm. my birthday. My mom always texts me on my birthday or calls me on my birthday. She's so goofy. And it's the most sweet and special thing that she does. And I'm sure she does with my brother, too. Like, just make a big point about mm-hmm. birthday. Last year, I told her that, like, mom, you should get credit for my birthday because, like, you know what I mean? I didn't do much work. You know what I mean? you know what I mean? Or, oh, no, that's not true, actually. That was the story I told her afterwards. But the story I told her was on her birthday. No, Mother's Day. That's what it was. On Mother's Day, I said I should be getting a gift because I'm the one that made you a mom. So you're welcome.
Nailed it. In the same vein of, yes, your birthday, she should be celebrated, not you, because you didn't do anything.
So Mimi's great. Like, I think she sent me a cookie bouquet flowers to my job once.
Cookie bouquet of flowers?
Like, you know, there's like a fruit bouquet? Yeah. There's like cookies. Yeah. She sent that to
that
work
once.
That sounds
delicious.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know what? Just, I would like that on my birthday.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was embarrassing, kind of, sort of, because my mom embarrasses me, kind of, sort of, but I like secretly loved it, like the attention.
And this is cookies.
Mom's great. Mom still buys me birthday presents. She's like, I had a birthday present.
I love Stephanie.
You buy me mom underwear?
I love Stephanie.
She's great. Okay, so mom texted me. let me just read it.
Read it, yeah. She texted yesterday, and you shared it with me and the bartenders at the bar yesterday. It was.
Did I do it with the bartenders?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I feel like you read it to them. It doesn't matter.
I don't think that makes sense. All
right. They may have just been 43
years ago today, the first space shuttle landed and an alien arrived. We named it Joshua, and the world is never the same. Happy birthday, kiddo. If you're going to be home at 8:30, I want to stop by and bring your clothes to your house. Like, you know, mom's like, here's this nice, sweet thing, but I got business.
By the way, I'm going to come over and do this thing.
Yeah.
When
she is the best. Mom's the best. Thanks, mom. Thank you for, you know, having me, I guess, or whatever. She'll never listen to this.
Well, it's the premise,
I'll clip this part, just send it to her.
Yeah,
like,
you should.
Text.
It's the premise on The Big Bang Theory. Leonard talks about how he says his mother had told him, like, he learned over the years, like, he never had a birthday party, and they were like, why? And he said, well, my mom made sure to point out to me that she asked the question and challenged it this way. It's like, why should we celebrate you on the day you were born? You didn't do anything. I did all the work. You should actually be praising me. I should get the credit. And he's like, so I send her a card on my birthday.
Nice. Yeah, it makes sense. That's what I was telling earlier. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
But like you said, this is on Mother's Day. She should send you one.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
That's the
ladies.
Truth of it.
Truthest is this.
So I'm an alien. That was the third thing about my birthday that I always tell people. Besides Abraham Lincoln, the space shuttle landed, and I came to this point.
Well, the best part of this is, listen, I've heard this many times, and I love every bit of it, and that's why we do this, sitting here to talk all day. But when you say that you tell people this, I don't believe that a lot of people get to all three of the points we just went through. I don't think that they can cipher through it, if you will, and or will you share with, like, it's not you just randomly tell people this, is what I'm saying.
No, I think what spurred this conversation at all was like the idea that I talked about Abraham Lincoln in a way that I know people don't get in a new group of people, but what spurred it was that it was attached to my birthday.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So
no,
I was like, yeah, my birthday's coming up, or as we know, Abraham Lincoln's assassination remembers
the
day.
The death day.
And they're like, ooh, wow.
When you know I said death birthday earlier, by the way, I said it on purpose. It's from Orange County. The first movie with Colin Hanks and his buddies, they celebrate Donnie's. It's his birthday, dude. It's his death birthday. We should take his surfboard out into the waves and, like, blow it up or something.
I like Assassination Remembrance Day, like, as a moniker.
Assassination Remembrance Day.
Yeah, I think that's... But I'll tell you this. Like, I would also like to add on to that, an addendum, if you will.
An amendment?
An amended addendum.
How about we make it the 14th Amendment?
It's 14th Amendment?
How about we make it whichever was the one that freed the slaves? That's what I'm saying. 13th, we should make it. Okay, so
what is the 14th Amendment? We'll talk about that next time. Hold on. I forgot my point.
We're making the 13th Amendment, your 13th Amendment.
What I was going to say is, even though we're going to call this Abraham Lincoln Assassination Remembrance Day, we're going to also add on to that we do not condone or recommend or approve assassinations or, like, killing people for any reason.
Who's we?
me.
Okay.
Me. You don't. You think people? I was just
clarifying.
Okay. I guess maybe I was trying to speak for the podcast without asking if this opinion made sense to you. So I'll now qualify that is my opinion. I do not agree with, promote, condone, or otherwise think assassinations are good. But if they happen to Abraham Lincoln, I mean, you know, I'm not gonna cry about it.
Listen, I have been no part or party to of any assassinations of any pets ever.
I would like to neither deny or acknowledge that any assassins have had.
In America, here's what I'm going to say. In America, we have a lot of amendments. There are so many amendments to the Constitution. And if I could choose one, I choose fifth. One, two, three, four, fifth. That's Dave Chappelle. I plead the fifth. Anything you ask me, fifth.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead and ask me a question. Fifth.
Oh, my God. This right here. I think that's the sign that this podcast is just
starting to derail.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to the music.
Oh, it's another Space Toast. Listen, where the fuck is Space Toast at, dude? Like, we gotta get with this guy, dude. These beats are so wonderful that he made them for us. I mean, I love every bit of it.
Okay.
You gotta find him. Where'd he go? You ran him off.
I didn't
know. You fired him.
He used to work with me. I don't know. I think I follow him on Snapchat, but I have no interest in. What do you want, more music from him or something? You just want to meet him? Do you just want to, like, introduce you guys? Or?
I did meet him. I have met him. Okay. I just haven't seen him forever. I want to, you know what, if nothing else, I hope somewhere in the universe he can hear me saying this. Thank you,
okay.
Space Toast, for our unique intro and outro that you took the time and actually put together the beats for us when you listened to our podcast.
I love it, bro. I love it. New music coming next week. Just kidding.
I'm kidding.
We probably not. Probably not. Anyways, you got anything else to talk about?
Listen, we go out positive here. Like, man, it's life is good. It's been a good time. This weekend's been a fucking ride.
Nobody cried about Arsenal losing yesterday. We didn't talk about that. They did lose.
Listen, it was your birthday, and you won. We won. I had a great time. And like I said, I go back. That picture epitomized it all. And man, it was a blast.
Email Nick for copies of the picture. That's not going on the internet. I'll send it.
I'm going to put it everywhere. All of it.
Sir.
What are you going to do on the next podcast, Joshua?
Same thing we do every time. I'm stumbling through the words. Same thing we do every time, sir.
And what is that?
Try and take over the world.
Boom.
Your Highness, Secretary General, Your Majesties, Your Royal Highnesses, Presidents, Prime Ministers, Ministers, ladies and gentlemen.